Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the Hosted Shows link. Then click on the link to the show you want to be a guest and click on the Register to be a Guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansinberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. If you want to call into the show with a brief question or a comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363, and press option 1 to connect with the producer. Again, that number to call with a question or brief comment is 347-989-1363, and press option 1 to connect with the producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg or at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can tweet me, alansimberg@alansimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being brought to you by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that makes whole food supplements. They have a farm in Wisconsin, where they grow organic vegetables, and they make their whole food supplements with the organically grown vegetables. Some of you may be wondering what the difference is between a whole food supplement. You might also be wondering what actually a whole food supplement is, and the difference between the whole food supplement and the supplements you might buy, let's say, in a health food store or a pharmacy, which I refer to as being predominantly synthetic. To put it quite simply, the supplements that you buy in the health food stores and in the pharmacies, you know, things like CVS and stores of that nature, is that those supplements are predominantly chemicals. They do not contain all the factors, known and unknown, that are in all the foods that we eat. So what happens is if you take synthetic supplements over an extended period of time, what you're putting into your body in the form of synthetic supplements will combine with the nutrients that are in your body already, because they need those cofactors and they need those other nutrients in order to really do the job that they were intended to do. So if you continually take synthetic supplements over an extended period of time, if your food intake is not really, really good, and what I mean by that in this situation is it's not at least 5 servings of vegetables and also salads, eventually what will happen is the cofactors and the substances that those supplements need to work properly will be taken from your body, and you stand the risk of actually getting the problems, the symptoms, whatever you want to call them, that you were taking the supplements to prevent. So I know this is a no-brainer, but I really recommend taking whole food supplements. And there are some whole food supplements that are sold in nutritional stores, in the health food stores, but the big difference is most of those supplements, if not all of them, are predominantly synthetic, and there is some components of whole foods in there. By contrast, the standard process supplements are predominantly organically grown vegetables. So you're really getting a lot of nutrition. And I would not say to take those supplements and not eat. You obviously have to eat. But basically, I just wanted to make those comments about the standard processed products to help you to know how valuable they are and how much they can actually help you. Now, before I introduce my first guest, I'm going to talk a little bit today about personality disorders. Now, basically, and again, just to briefly mention, what I'm doing here is I'm continuing along the same lines that I've been using over the past two shows of talking about emotional disorders that can affect people. In the first show, we talked about depression. Last week, we talked about anxiety disorders. And today, we're going to be talking about personality disorders. So I'm guessing that at least some of you may be thinking to yourselves, like, what is a personality disorder specifically? And again, as I've mentioned in the past, this is a label that mental health professionals use in order to get paid by insurance and to be able to have shorter conversations with other professionals, because once you identify the label, the other professional will basically have an idea of what you're talking about, and it saves a lot of talk time. So I'm not stressing the idea of people needing labels. I'm just stressing the idea of you understanding what this is all about. So if someone or someone you know has these kinds of diagnoses, you'll understand basically what it's all about. Okay? So in a nutshell, a personality disorder or a so-called personality disorder basically means that a person has a specific way of relating to others and to relating in the world that creates or contributes to them having problems. Now, according to the most recent style of diagnosis, there are three different types, or what they call clusters, of personality disorders. I'm going to name each cluster, and I'm going to basically just give an example of one of the personality disorders in each cluster, because this is really meant to be more of an overview than anything else. So what they're calling Cluster A, and when I say they, I'm talking about the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Cluster A has to do with odd or eccentric behavior. And the paranoid personality disorder is the one that fits into that cluster. Generally speaking, people with paranoid personality are distrustful and they're suspicious of others. They really don't have any evidence or any reason to think that way, and that's the key. There's really no evidence. There may be a very small part of what they perceive, and they blow it up into like this whole big story. And unfortunately, thinking this way can also result in the person with the paranoid personality disorder to even go so far as to take retaliation against someone. So, for example, if they believe somebody is following them and they're really not, they could actually go after them physically and hurt them. Or they could take legal actions against them. And people with this personality disorder generally feel alienated and feel very alone. Now, the Cluster B personality disorder has to do with dramatic or erratic behavior. An example of that would be the histrionic or hysterical personality disorder. People with this particular issue very obviously seek attention, are dramatic and excessively emotional, and are overly concerned with appearance. So they'll spend an inordinate amount of time paying attention to how they look and making sure that they look as perfectly as possible. People with this personality disorder are prone to sexually provocative behavior and to sexualizing relationships that are really non-sexual in nature. The third cluster is called anxious or inhibited behavior. So people with this type of personality disorder will show avoidant behaviors. So in other words, they're overly sensitive to rejection, and they fear starting relationships or anything new. So even though they have a strong desire for affection and acceptance, they avoid intimate relationships and social situations because they fear disappointment and criticism. So that's basically what we're going to talk about today in terms of personality disorders. My talking about this particular aspect of emotional challenges is going to continue next week. Next week, I'm going to talk some about the consequences of personality disorders in my opening monologue. And I'm also, again, going to do a quick review of what I said today. And if I have time, we'll also talk about the treatment for personality disorders. So before I introduce my guest for today, we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to meet my guest.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. I just want to again mention that as I'm interviewing my guest, if you have either a question or a brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363, and press option 1 to connect with the producer. My guest today is Rhonda Moore. Rhonda is a licensed professional counselor and a national certified counselor. Rhonda founded Peace Through Understanding Psychological Services in 2007. She works with adult individuals and couples who are experiencing emotional and relational distress. The Peace Through Understanding method is used to heal and restore the heart, soul, spirit, mind, and body. And during the course of this interview, we're going to be talking with Rhonda about that particular method that she uses, and we're going to all get a better understanding about what it's all about. So without further ado, let's learn more about Rhonda. And hello, Rhonda, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good, thank you. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up, and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today?
Ah, that's a big question. Well, the first part's easy. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. And when I was in my early 20s, I moved up to the Northeast and lived in New Hampshire for about 12 years. When I was up there, I was working, my bachelor's degree is in computer science, and I was working up there, and I worked for 5 different companies that all went under in 5 years. And that really gave me an idea that I wasn't suited for that kind of work, because I think I have too much compassion for others to be in that environment. And so once I understood that about myself, I kind of started getting involved in very different areas. I started volunteering at domestic violence and sexual assault centers and working with women primarily, but also some men who were struggling in that way, accompanying them to court and to police stations and giving workshops and just educating people, answering crisis lines. After that, I moved to the Mideast, the East Coast, in the Carolinas, and I accidentally, truly accidentally, became chaplain at a correctional facility and at a county jail. And that's when I really started developing the method that I use today in my office, even though I didn't have the education, I had the heart. And I started working first with myself, and I was on my own healing journey. And through that, I really developed a method that was effective but gentle and safe with the people that I was working with as a chaplain. And so that's kind of a little bit about me and how I got started and what I'm doing.
Okay, so let's get into some more of the specifics. In terms of your peace through understanding method, is that something that you just kind of put together from all the information and experience that you had in your head? Did you take pieces of different approaches and kind of put it in together and make your own method, just so people can understand what it's really all about?
Right, and so the answer is yes and yes, but for me it started out as a healing journey but also a spiritual journey. It was very spiritual in nature, and of course my work as a chaplain was spiritual based. I was really determined to be as whole as possible. I was raising children, and it was very important to me to be a great mother and also just a good person, a good friend, a good spouse, all of those things. And so that quest really drove me to workshops and lectures and that sort of thing. And I did start piecing things together, but it was really interesting because there was a priest at a local Episcopal church that I met, and he was also on his own healing journey. And we would meet once a month and kind of exchange notes about what we were doing and how we were doing it. And he would share with me what was working for him, and I would share with him what was working for me. And through that, that healing process that I was going through, I needed to develop a way to use it, especially with the women at the prison. They had just horrific stories and backgrounds of violence and abuse and pain, relational pain and emotional pain. And so that effort that I put forth with myself, I had to find a way to explain to them. And so I did. I kind of pieced some things together, but I also started to come up with my own understanding of what I was doing. And that was okay to a point. It was really when I went back to school and got my master's degree and started understanding how the brain works, how the subconscious mind works, the research on the imagination and how information stored, memories and that sort of thing, that I started to understand why what I was doing was so powerful. See, I knew it worked. It worked with me. It worked with the women. It worked with people in the church. And it was amazing, but I didn't have the piece of why. Why does it work? Why is it so effective? And I also started to understand how it was very different from what's being done out there. I started using it primarily with trauma survivors, people who have suffered a psychological trauma because of a medical condition or an accident or abuse or trauma, things like that, or a traumatic loss. Or some kind of like hurricane, that sort of thing. And that was where I really started. And what's unique about the Peace Through Understanding method, for people out there that don't know, the method that's typically used requires exposure over and over to the trauma in greater and greater detail in an effort to systematically desensitize the person. And as I mentioned, when I was working in computer science, I'm very emotionally sensitive. I have a lot of compassion, and I knew that that wasn't going to work for me. And so the method that I developed doesn't require any reliving of the trauma at all and does not rely on desensitization at all. And so that's very different in the industry. That was
that
a long answer. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. And
I get so excited about it because it's just, it's meant so much to me. It's meant so much to the people that I have been privileged to work with and walk that healing journey with. It just, it gets me excited. So I apologize.
No, that's good. There's really no reason to apologize because, you know, what I firmly believe is that if you have enthusiasm about what you do and you manage the enthusiasm so it doesn't overcome you, but it fuels what you do, it just makes you better and better and more effective in helping the people that you want to help.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I am excited about it. I can tell you that for sure. I do have a passion for it.
Yeah, and that's really great. You know, obviously from some of the things that you've said, you have different reasons to have so much passion. You know, you've kind of integrated your own life experiences with the education that you've gotten, with what seems most obvious to me, the sole intention of being as helpful as possible in the shortest amount of time possible to all the people that you work with.
Yes, and, you know, that is a key element of it. That time, some of the people that have come to see me have been in therapy for years, literally years, and not gotten much in the way of relief. And the relief they have gotten, they have to fight to hold on to. And so the peace through understanding method gets to the source of that issue and relieves it naturally so that the outcome is a natural outcome. You don't have to fight for it. It's just there. You don't have to struggle to hold on to it. It's just there.
It's kind of the thought that I get as you're speaking now is it's the difference between wanting to unlock a lock and maybe not really having the right key and kind of doing everything you can to force the lock open as opposed to just having what that lock needs, that right key, to just unlock it.
That's exactly right. And you know, I think of it in terms of the subconscious mind. In our industry, my understanding of looking at the unconscious or the subconscious mind is it's a problem to overcome. You know, they used to think our brains were kind of hardwired. Whatever you ended up with was what you had to deal with. And so you had to overcome certain things or manage certain things. But, of course, the research now is showing that's not true. It's that neuroplasticity, the brain is malleable. It's shaping. It's developing. It's continuing that process, that change process. And so that means that we can make changes that are lasting and more permanent in our brains and in our subconscious. And so I don't look at the subconscious as a problem to overcome. I look at the subconscious mind as our wise protector. And when it surfaces stuff that's mucking up our life, it's doing that so that we can find what needs healing and to show us how to get there and to let us know what it needs. And so speaking the language of the subconscious mind and viewing it as a very wise protective partner in the process is what makes the peace through understanding method very, very different. And it's that key that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah, and I think the other part of what you're saying is that we really all do have the choice of looking at something as being an enemy or looking at something as being in a negative light as opposed to something that just is, maybe we don't like it, and then deciding what we want to do about it.
Right, right. And really, sometimes we have to look at things from very different points of view. There's a part of the peace through understanding method that does include for people who are faith-based. It includes a portion of that, that you can use your faith-based beliefs in the process. And it's sort of like how you think about your spirituality. Of course, there's how many people are there, that's how many ways we can look at that, right? And different perspectives are helpful and different perspectives are a hindrance. And it's the same with our minds. You know, we can look at things from one perspective, but if we walk around it to the other side and look at it in a completely different light from a different side, we go, oh, wait a minute. I don't think I understood that at all. Mm-hmm. You know, anxiety is like that. Anxiety is one of those things we really want to get rid of.
Yeah.
But if you think about anxiety as a protector, you know, if I have agoraphobia, which of course is a fear of leaving my home, and I don't ever leave my home, well, I'm safer, aren't I? In some way, if you twist it on its head, it is protective. So if you understand that and you go, well, if it's protecting, what is it protecting me from? And when did that start? And what's the source of that? Can that be healed? And then I won't need that protection anymore. I have a lot of clients come in here presenting depressed. Well, depression is a great protection against anxiety, because if you're depressed enough, you don't feel the anxiety. You don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. And so there's all kinds of ways to look at these things that are going on inside of us and to see it from different angles in ways that help us to go about it a different way.
Yeah, it's very freeing. I'd like to talk a little bit more with you about the comment you made about the peace through understanding method having a faith-based component to it. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit and just kind of let the listeners know, like, how that part fits into the whole method?
Well, as I mentioned, for me it was a spiritual journey at the beginning, including, you know, the healing part. And it was very Christian-based because I was a Christian. And I worked in the Deep South, and most of the people I worked with were Christians. When I got to school and I started learning and I started thinking about what I wanted to do with my private practice and where I wanted to practice, I didn't want to be just a Christian counselor. There's a lot of great Christian counselors out there, but they stick to kind of that faith-based reality. I wanted to have a more diverse practice. I wanted to be able to work with someone who is Hindu or Muslim or Buddhist or atheist or agnostic or not sure or confused, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to upset with God or whatever, and have a very different practice in that way. And so I actually, it's kind of funny and maybe it's a little ironic, but I would pray about it and I would say, God, I need your help. I need a way, you know, to do this where you're just not so overtly present in a certain kind of a way. And it was really interesting because I really went through, during my internship, I worked out at UTMB, which is our University of Texas Medical Branch, and that's where we make our doctors. And a lot of those students would come to me, and they were very science-oriented, and not very many of them, truthfully, had a deep spiritual foundation. And that really forced me then to start doing that very thing that I tell, you know, my clients to do. Look at it from different angles. Think about it in different ways. Come up with new concepts and terminology. And for me, as a mother, all right, I know this sounds a little tangential, but that's okay. As a mother, I knew that when my children are grown, which they are, I want them to have whole, healthy relationships. I want them to be as whole and stable and happy as possible. And I don't need them to go, oh, Mom, that's great. I owe it all to my mother. And I thought about God, right, in that same parental light. And I thought, God doesn't really need, you know, the kudos. God just wants us to have healthy, whole lives with healthy relationships. And so that really informed me to really strive for being able to help someone who is faith-based or who isn't. And so when I work on the faith-based part of it, I don't use what I believe in. It's not constructed from within me. It's constructed within the client in real time in my office. And so therefore it uses what's important to them, what's meaningful to them, what's been their experience. I'll give you a great example. The work I do is very experiential in nature. We often use meditative methods. And again, the meditation is guided and driven by the client. There's a lot to it, but anyway. I had a Hindu woman, and we were not having a lot of success finding what was going to work for her. And I mentioned a chakra meditation. And she said, oh, we used to do those in my church when I was a child. We did those every Sunday. And I said, great. I want you to start that practice again. And when you come back next week, I want to talk about it. And so she came back and she said, oh, this chakra was blocked and this chakra, and I don't know that much about it because that's not my foundation, my faith. And I said, well, let's do the meditation and let's listen to the blocked chakra. What's it doing? Why is it there? What's blocking it? Let's listen to it and understand it and then follow it to where you need healing. And let's see if we can't bring the healing to the source of the problem. Well, we use that chakra meditation that was so meaningful to her that I don't know that much about. And it was amazing. She had a real breakthrough here in my office. And I didn't have to go study the Hindu faith or have a particular way that I went about it. I just had to be open to using whatever was meaningful for her, whatever was important to her.
I think that was a great point that you made, and the example really helps people to understand it in a very clear way. We need to go to commercial break.
Okay.
So we'll continue talking about your method and different things you do, how you help people when we come back. And before we go to commercial break, I just want to remind everyone that the preceding segment of this program has been brought to you by Standard Process, a company that produces whole food supplements using organically grown vegetables. If you have any questions about those particular supplements, feel free to call me during the week or text me. My phone number is 281-785-0660, or you can also email me at alan@alansimberg.com. We're going to go to commercial break and continue my conversation with Lonnie when we come back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to Internet radio in the last month, or that weekly Internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the Internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. This afternoon, I've been speaking with Rhonda Moore. Rhonda is a licensed professional counselor and a national certified counselor. Rhonda founded A Piece Through Understanding Psychological Services in 2007, and we've been talking about a counseling method that she's developed, which is, I hope, obvious by now, the Piece Through Understanding method. And Rhonda, one of the things I was thinking about during commercial break was, I wonder if you have found any particular kind of situation that a client might bring to you where maybe this method would not be helpful, or if there are any precautions that you would need to be aware of in working with a client in using this method.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I do not work with psychotic disorders. Even if someone is stable on medication, their brains are just wired very differently, and I haven't found the way to work with that. And truthfully, it's not the focus of my practice. I'm not saying it couldn't, it's just not something that I do. at this time. You mentioned personality disorders at the beginning of the show, and I don't really work much in the realm of personality disorders, much for the same reason. Even if they're stable on medication, they just think very differently about the world, and it's very difficult for them to stay focused and to stay on that kind of even plane to do the work, because the way that I do the work, the client is very much in the lead and the partner, part of the team, if you will, in the healing journey. I'm just the facilitator and someone, you know, who has a lot of experience, obviously, with the method. Now, that's not to say if someone has a personality disorder and they experienced a trauma and they are very stable that they absolutely cannot use it. It's just a lot more difficult. So those are two areas that I would say. Now, I tell you what's great in, and that's dual diagnosis. That's addictions, because addictions tend to be very protective. And I know that sounds a little bizarre, but, you know, an addiction makes the pain go away. And so it is very helpful in substance addictions and also process addictions.
So let's talk about that, because, you know, as you well know, and maybe many of the listeners also know, there's so much controversy and there's so many different ways that people think is the so-called, quote-unquote, best way to work with people that have either the substance addictions or the process addictions. How would your method fill in maybe some of the gaps that other methods have to them? Because there's no perfect method, obviously.
Right, and different things are going to work well for different people. For addictions, I really listen to the addiction as a protector. We see, what we do is we use a mindful approach, and so a mindful approach stays open and non-judgmental, acknowledging and accepting everything that's there in the present moment and paying attention to, you know, the sensations that are internal. And so in doing that, we sit with the addiction. We identify where it is in the body. We listen to it. We listen to it without filters. We listen to it without judging it. And then we reestablish a relationship with something that usually has been broken. And, you know, obviously you don't want to be an addict. That it really messes up your life in a lot of cases. But as we sit and listen to it and we establish safe space, it can show us what it's tied to or what it's linked to that doesn't make any sense. So thinking about the subconscious mind, and, you know, all of this is a little complicated for a 45-minute program, but the subconscious mind is a database of everything you've experienced. It's experiential knowledge-based, and that database is linked together along emotional content, things like hurt and shame and loss and those kinds of things, confusion, embarrassment, those sorts of things. So if I have a fear-based experience at 5 years old where I'm in a car accident, and then I have a fear-based experience at 10 years old where I'm lost in a mall in a strange city, and then I have a fear-based experience at 16 where I'm with the wrong crowd and the police pull us over and I'm taken to jail. Those three experiences don't look anything alike, but they're alike in the subconscious mind because they all are fear-based. And so they're linked together along the emotional content of fear. And so when we talk about something like an addiction, it's hard to understand that it's protective or what it's protecting unless we listen to it and let it show us, because those links are very tricky. It can be kind of inconsistent and irrational looking to us in a lot of ways. And so we have to develop a safe place for those things to communicate and to show us and to inform us so that we know what to do and we know where to go.
And then would you say that you use or you help your clients to use more of the meditation, mindfulness aspects of the process to become aware of these things, to see these links and to understand how it's affecting them?
Yes. So insight is a big you know, it's a big part of therapeutic practice, gaining insight. Why do I do what I do? You know, why do I think like I think? Why do I feel what I feel? And so that insight's very important. But insight can only take you so far. What do you do with it? What do I do now? And so in the Peace Through Understanding method, once we understand what it is and we've gained access, all right, so the subconscious mind says the order of things and is in control, not us. So it's not hypnotherapy. You know, hypnotherapy is guided by the therapist. My process is guided by the client's subconscious mind, and it keeps them safe, and it makes it gentle. So anyway, once we know that and we get to a place that needs healing, usually it's an emotional or relational need in that situation, an unmet emotional or relational need, a need for knowing the truth, a need for being protected, a need for comfort, a need for rescue, or a need to be loved unconditionally, or to be cared about, or to just be listened to. You want me to give you an example?
I was actually thinking that, so now we know you're a mind reader as well.
Well, you know, it helps, okay? So I talk about telling the truth, okay? Maybe sometime what's in there needs to know the truth. So I had a client come to me when she was 17 years old. She's very badly disabled and has been from birth. She has a very serious birth defect. And so she had had medical procedures and surgeries her entire life, always. The hospital was her second home. She loved going to the hospital. It usually meant an easing of some kind of pain or greater mobility. The nurses and doctors loved her. She was a lovely person. And so that was really a second home for her. And it wasn't like it would be for me. You know, it wasn't an anxiety-ridden experience for her. But when she was 14 years old, she was scheduled to have a surgery, and she was in there, and they were making the, you know, the preparations, and she was overwhelmed with anxiety and a sense that she was going to die in the surgery. And she kept telling everyone, and they kept saying, oh, sweetie, you know, you're just nervous. It's going to be okay. She died two times on the table. They revived her both times. The surgery was not a success. It was a kind of a mess, and she had a very long and painful and difficult recovery. And so she, at 17 years old, she was scheduled for another surgery, and she had gotten to the point where she could hardly even go to the doctor. She would be so anxious and upset. And so she came to see me. And we did some, you know, I taught her the method, and I taught her about her mind and all of that stuff. We did the education. We did some introductory experiential things that her subconscious led. But on this day, you know, I said, let's start with a meditation. And she started in her safe place, which is someplace that feels safe to her. And I said, listen, when you feel that anxiety, where do you feel it strongest in your body? And so she told me it was probably in her chest or her gut. And we followed the anxiety. I said, let's follow it and see where it wants to take you to today. And we had done that several times, and it had never taken us to this experience. But on this day, she said, well, there I am. I'm 14 years old, and I'm lying there, and I'm waiting for surgery, and I'm very scared. And I said, I want you to feel her with your heart. What does she need? And she said, she needs to know that we don't die. And I said, you know what, sweetie, you're 17 years old. I can't think of anybody better to tell her. Go tell her she doesn't die. And so she went in this meditation. She went to her 14-year-old self, and she said, look, you're not going to die. You're going to be okay. Look, we grow up. It's going to be all right. And she said, that feels better. I said, you know, did that relieve that anxiety? She said, it relieved a lot of it. She said, but there's still some anxiety there. And I said, well, you know, feel her with your heart again. Just listen to her. What does she need? And she said, you know what? She needed somebody to listen to her. Nobody would listen to me. And I said, okay. I said, here's the deal. I said, you are 1 month from being 18 years old. That's legal adult age. I want you to tell her that you, as an adult, will always listen to her. You will never ignore your gut the way that they did. You'll never do that to her again. And whatever she brings to you, you will take seriously, and you will do something about it and just make her that promise. And so she did that in the meditation, and all the rest of that anxiety relieved. And she was able to go then and have the procedure she very badly needed. And she didn't have that overwhelming anxiety and fear that would have prevented her from going and doing that. So sometimes they just need to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what's in there just needs to know the truth.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you know, there is some kind of an expression, and I'm sort of being a little sarcastic here, that, you know, the idea of,
okay.
But I'm not being sarcastic in what I'm saying. I'm thinking that a lot of people notice, and the way I'm saying it, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of this expression, I don't know if you ever heard of it, but the truth shall set you free.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can know that in your present moment, well, I'm safe and I can listen to it, but she experienced it. And experience is what puts it into that deeper part of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, once you know how to ride a bike, you never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Experience is the best teacher because it gets in there in a deeper way. Every teacher knows that. Teach a child 2 + 2 = 4. And they're like, okay, but give them 2 apples in one hand and 2 apples in another hand and ask them how many apples they have. And they've had an experience of 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
Experience is the thing that puts it deeper within us so that it sticks.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that it's accurate, that at least part of what you actually described with that example was from an emotional point of view, you gave her the opportunity to relive that experience from a positive perspective.
That's right, exactly. And so not only do you get the benefit of unsticking yourself, you know,
uh-huh.
where you got stuck because of that pain, but you do it in the most empowering way. I mean, that is amazing that you have the opportunity to go and heal what's in there experientially. It's you. You bring your tools. You bring yourself. And so you're restoring your relationship with yourself. You're building that confidence, that self-trust, that self-care that we talk so much about. But, you know, this is something that's actually more concrete and real.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and obviously what makes it more concrete and real is the person actually gets to experience the outcome of what they've just done.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of the interview, but before we end, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about an adventure that you've been involved in. I don't know how long it's been, but I know it hasn't been real long.
Not real long.
Not too long. In
not
terms
too
of
long.
Becoming an author and a compilation book.
Yes,
and,
I'm very
and
excited
interestingly
about
enough,
that.
Yeah, yeah, and interestingly enough, as we might say, the universe kind of brought us together, not only in terms of doing this interview, but I also happen to be an author in that book, and I just would like to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about what that book's all about and what your chapter is about.
Well, you know, I think there's one person newer than I am to that book. But let me tell you what it means for me. I've always wanted to be an author. It's been something that's been in my heart. And this has been an opportunity for me to write something near and dear to me, something important in my life, and share it with several other people who are sharing parts of their lives in a meaningful way. And it's all going to be in this book together. And maybe my story won't touch you, but one of the other author's stories will. And there's just the most amazing experiences. You know, we're all on this planet hurtling through space together, and there's just such a common bond between us that we don't often recognize or give credence to. But it's there. We have the same needs for care and love and positive regard and all of those things. And so all these people sharing their stories around those themes is just powerful. It's amazing. And those stories can touch and change lots of lives. I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'm also really excited. And one of the things I would like to ask you to share with the listening audience is information about the launch date and, you know, kind of what that means. Because, you know, if people don't know how to get the book, it could be the greatest book in the world, and your story could move like hundreds of people's lives, but if they don't get to read it, it's not going to work.
Well, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff, and some of it might not be correct, so you can fix it for me. I believe the launch date is July 18th. I think that's right.
You're
Yay!
Right.
That's one point for Rhonda.
Yeah, it's all right.
The way you get the book, you know, I'm really kind of lost. I know that there will be links online. There's going to be a website. I don't know the name of that website, I'm sorry to say. I'm still learning all the ins and outs of it because, like I said, I am very new to this process. I found out like 5 days before the deadline of getting everything in that I was going to be part of it. So I'm probably a little bit behind the eight ball on that. But there are websites, and perhaps, Alan, you know what the names of those websites are?
Well, I'm going to put it out there.
You put it out there.
The name of the website is Share Your Message with the World.
Share Your Message with the World.
And
is it like spelled out like that with no blanks or anything?
Yep. Yeah, well, no, there are blanks. In other words, it's separate words. It's Share Your Message with the World.
And it's
obviously shareyourmessagewiththeworld.com.
Okay, very cool.
And you kind of Google that and it'll show up.
Yeah. We're going to make it real easy to find, huh?
Yeah, and what you said is really important and very helpful. We are going to provide, all the authors are going to provide links.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, just to kind of further answer your question, it is going to actually be all the words together. It's going to be shareyourmessagewiththeworld.com. It's not going to look like you can read it because all the words are together, but that's the way to put it on.
Right. But even if you mess it up, it'll probably get you there. And if you want to go to any, like they could go to your website and there'll be a link there. They could go to my website and there'll be a link there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you really want to get technical, you could even throw www.
in front of
And boy, I tell you, then you're totally tech savvy.
Wow. Hey,
that's
listen, can I share one more thing about this piece through understanding method? There is a website you can go to and get the first module for absolutely no money. It has the mountain meditation, it has the mountain meditation worksheet, and it has a teaching on the internal family systems model by Dr. Richard Schwartz. And that's a model that starts to introduce these concepts of systems thinking and mindfulness and how we relate to ourselves and how we get stuck and how we protect ourselves. So anyway, that is on the PTUmethod.com website. And on the PTUmethod.com website, there will be a link to get the book.
Oh,
right? So we have come full circle.
Yeah, I think we have. I want to thank you for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and I'm really, really glad to hear about the kind of work you're doing. I can hear that you've really been helpful to a lot of people, and you're in a position to be helpful to a lot more. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rhonda. Well, we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Alan Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Sinberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Sinberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Allen at allensinberg.com. Let Dr. Allen Sinberg help to enhance your life through effective therapies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Allen Sinberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. Before closing out today's show, I want to give my Life Changing Insight tip of the week. And as has been my practice the past several weeks, my Life Changing Insight tip of the week has to do with your health. And today what we're going to be talking about is your immune system. And basically, for any of you who are not aware of this, and even for those of you who are aware of this, basically one of the primary functions of the immune system is to help to keep you healthy. And to put it in a very simple way, the way your immune system does that is it is able to detect or tell what is good for you versus what may be a danger to you and to your existence. Now, you have several aspects to your immune system. You have a thymus gland that's located more towards the center of your chest. You have a spleen that is located on the left side of your body. You have your intestines, which, of course, everybody knows where your intestines are. And one of the things that I want to mention about how to not only maintain good health, but also to improve your immune system so that your immune system can help you to remain healthy, is that between 75 to 80% of your immune system is located in your gut. It's located in your intestines. If you have healthy intestines, that goes a long way towards helping your immune system to function at its optimal level. So the question may be, so how do I do that? Well, one way is that you drink water every day. And the general guideline for determining how much water to drink is that you drink half your body weight in ounces. So, for example, if you weigh 100 pounds, you would drink 50 ounces of water, which is approximately between 6 and 7 glasses of water. It's 48 ounces of water. The reason you want to do that is not only do you want to flush your system out, and not only do you want to hydrate, but you also want to make sure that you have regular bowel movements. The more infrequent your bowel movements, the more the buildup of bacteria in your gut that is not healthy, and possibly even parasites, and perhaps even viruses, which then, of course, you're putting a greater challenge on your immune system and on your entire body. So you want to keep things flowing. You know, basically, there's a certain percentage of what you take into your body you want to keep to nourish yourself. That's what nutrition is all about. And there are certain parts of things that you eat, and an example of that might be fiber. Fiber helps the body to get rid of the toxins. You want to unload the toxins, and you want to get rid of the debris. Just like every so often you throw your garbage away in the house and then you throw the garbage away outside the house into garbage pails, you also want to get rid of your so-called garbage. Well, I want to invite you all back to next week's show, Life Changing Insights with Dr. Allen Sinberg. It is next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock. If you want to be a guest blogger with me, contact me by email at allen@allensinberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. I hope you all have a great day and a wonderful week. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.